How do you spell a book? I'll teach you right now. B as in, book. And O as in OBGYN. And K as in OK. But I won't read that book about an OBGYN anytime soon.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Your Normal Books. My name is Kalen. How are you guys doing today? We've got a, we're doing the eclipse today with one of our guests who we've had on before, Ripley Proserpina.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm excited you picked eclipse, or I picked eclipse.
Because I already had someone lined up for, Twilight and then New Moon. I'm just like, okay, I have two others, and my cousin did New Moon. I'm just like, eclipse is left. And then I remembered when the last time I talked to you, you're just like, I'm a huge Twilight fan. I'm just like, Ripley will be good for this.
I can totally do it.
One, my first question is, when the eclipse book came out, were you one of the people that went at midnight when it came out to buy it?
No, these books were out years before I started reading them. I was just not in like a, well, I was just, I didn't even realize what they were about. I saw them everywhere. And then one of my friends, her daughter was reading it, and she's like, you should read Twilight. It has vampires and werewolves and a love triangle. And I started it, and it reminded me of this book that came out so, like, well, it's a show now, but it came out years ago, and I didn't really get into the show too much, but The Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
But I had read the books so many years ago, and it reminded me of that, but then it veered off in its own direction. No, I wasn't there at midnight. I've never been a midnight person for books.
I don't think this was for Twilight, but I remember for one of the Harry Potter books, me and my brother and a couple of our friends, we went to Walmart, and we actually got locked inside Walmart for about a half hour. So then they could get everything set up, because they locked the doors and everything. If you were in the store, you were stuck there until they unlocked it. So we're just kind of wandering around, and they're just like, they had someone standing right where the books were. And anytime anyone went by them, everyone was just like, they're not for sale yet. You've still got 20 minutes. They're not for sale yet.
How would you even do that? I'm surprised there wasn't a riot.
Small town.
Yeah. Somebody's going to tell your mother.
Yeah. Well, for us, we don't, where I live, there's not even a Walmart in town. We have to drive 15 minutes to a Walmart. If we want to go to a theater, it's 15 minutes. If we want to go to a good theater, it's a half hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Yeah.
When I say good theater, I mean, if we go to the one 15 minutes down the road, you can hear the movie next door.
I get it. Yeah.
When I can't remember if I got my books for Christmas when it came out, or some sort of holiday I got them, and I was so excited, because I started reading them, and I don't know if I was the age of where I should be. So the first book came out when I was 14, and I'm just like, oh, this is awesome. And I'm just like, maybe this is a little bit too mature for 14 year olds.
I guess so. But I mean, it's kind of also like the perfect book for a 14 year old who's looking for, like a little romance with that, you know, the high tension, and it's definitely a clean read.
Yeah. Very, very clean. But with Eclipse, this was one of my favorite books in the entire series, because you got to see kind of both sides of both the Collins and then Jacob and his crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, and I like that. And, but I feel like Jacob was very pushy towards his feelings in this a lot.
Yeah, totally. And it's funny you say that, because I was reading through it before we like, once you reached out, I was like, I'm going to have to read it again and get it. And that, you know, what caught me was like, he was really pushy in a very, like, I don't know, kind of like full of himself way that I didn't get the first time I read it. I felt like he was still this like teenager, but when I read it again, he feels a little more like, I don't know, bro-y, I guess.
Like he had to show that he was better than everyone else. And I'm just like, no one likes that aspect. And some people do, people do, but not everyone.
But we'd also had, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I can't say that we just had, you know, New Moon, where Edward was about to, you know, throw himself at the feet of the Volturi. So, you know, and there was that Romeo and Juliet piece of it, but you had the whole New Moon with Jacob, where he really was her lifeline. So it was just a switch. I think it was maybe, I mean, and he is young, like, I mean, not to, I don't know if I'm looking too deeply into Twilight, but he is younger, like by a lot. He's still a teenager.
He is, you know? and
he's dealing with this 119-year-old dude, like.
when saying, because you don't really think of what Edward's like real age is, and then when you say that, you're just like, it's so creepy, because she's 18, and you're just like, oh, he's in his hundreds. I'm just like, I don't like that anymore.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I feel like you read it at different points in your life and it has different meaning. Like when I first read it, I was like all in, and I read it now and I'm kind of like,
cringy.
Like, yeah. And it's, I don't know, maybe it's like the things that come out about it that people write and you're like, oh, I never considered that. But the one piece that I feel like really, I don't know if it holds up, but it's the part, it's the character that I was so in love with, was Leah Clearwater.
God, because you feel for her, because almost every person has gone through something like this, where it might not have been a family member, but dating someone, being serious with them, and then them just breaking up with you out of the blue to date someone else. Everyone's probably had that happen to them once or twice in their life. So it's something that I feel like a lot of people can and will connect with.
I know. And it's just like, it's heart. I don't know. That part was heart-wrenching. They were, because I mean, the backstory pieces, they were happy. Like they were in love. And then he sees Emily and he's like, that's my, what did they call it? It's like soulmate, but like bonded. I don't remember. Isn't that awful? Like, I'm gonna have to.
What? I know what it is. Son of a bitch.
Anyway,
it eventually it'll hit one of us.
I know we're gonna wake up screaming in the middle of the night. But
I've actually done that on something where. I'm
yeah. But I was just like that. I don't know, that it kind of pissed me off. Honestly, I was like, Leah needs. You know, she's done these two spinoffs where she's had, like where she switched Bella as the vampire and Edward as the human. And then she did the Midnight Sun from Edward's point of view. I'm like, what about Leah? Leah needs a book. Like, give Leah, like, and it doesn't even have to be a romance. It can be like a badass, like.
Oh, I feel something. Leah needs to get her own book. And I feel like Alice needs to get her own book, because when they talked about, I said this when I was talking about Twilight, but in the movie, they totally like skipped over Alice's whole, how she became one. Do you remember that at all or not really?
Oh no, I remember. I like, not only do I remember, but I used to go on the, the Twilight lexicon. I don't know if you're aware. It used to be
I've never heard of that.
It was a website that fans made, and it's still up. You can still find it. And Stephanie Meyer would write answers to questions that people asked. And she laid out all the backstory for not only Alice, but like Esme and Rosalie, like she, like it was like a real back and forth with her fans. And I remember reading all of Alice's backstory.
Even a little bit in the movies, even they do the backstory on Rosalie, on Jasper, and a little bit of Esme, along with Carlisle and Edward, of course, but they don't really do it for Emmett. And we find, I can't remember if it was Eclipse or New Moon, or not New Moon, Eclipse or Breaking Dawn, where they talk about Emmett's backstory a little bit. Because I remember he was mauled by a bear, Rosalie found him and brought him back to Carlisle.
I don't remember which one it was in, but I remember the story about how hard it was for her to carry him over the distance when he was like bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. So. And who is your, out of everyone in the series, who is your least favorite character? If you have one.
Like of the, like the main groups.
Of anyone. I know, such a hard question.
I think it's Bella.
That not what I was expecting.
I don't know. I know that's like, I mean, it's looking at it now. Like, I like Alice. I like her, but there was something just so, I wanted Bella to, I sound like Edward. I wanted Bella to live a little bit.
I hate in the movies where they cast her as this very, I don't know. She almost simplistic, basic in a way. Well, in the book, she's this very complex person, and they kind of like really dumbed it down for the movies.
Yeah. And maybe that's like, once you have a movie out, you can confound the characters a bit more. Cause when I go back, I like Edward so much more in the book than I do in the movie. And I always liked Bella's voice in the book more than the movie, but you can't get in characters' heads in the movie so much. But
I mean, you could, yeah. But you're creating your own monologue for it.
Right. Exactly. So, I think the part that was I didn't get Breaking Dawn. I didn't get the point of view switches and like how obsessed she was with the baby. And then like, I know that sounds super shitty, but
no.
And then it was like, but then she was just kind of like the baby was a device. She wasn't even a character. She was like a purse that she carried around with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
For Breaking Dawn, the one scene that everyone talked about for the longest time was always when they were on the honeymoon and they're just like, oh my God, he broke the baseboard. I'm just like, it probably happens more than you think. But no one talks about it.
It's funny they would talk about that and not the fact that he chewed the baby out of her uterus.
Also,
let's go there. That was gross.
I'm just like, I'm sorry. I don't think organs are made of fucking steel or whatever. I'm pretty sure a simple blade would do.
It was beyond. I mean, and there was a lot of that where, you know, you just have to go with it. Have to go with it. But I remember thinking like, ugh. Like, you know, when they say you break the fourth wall, that was like, that broke the fourth wall. And there's the outfits in that book. Like every time I come across a description of what somebody's wearing, I would be like, I would pause and I would think about it and try to visualize like, Edward had this, and the reason I remember it is because it jarred me so much. He had on when he takes her up to the meadow and shows her his sparkling skin. He's wearing a button down, sleeveless collared shirt. And I'm like, that's such a weird underneath a sweater. And it's such a weird, like, I can't picture it on this dude. Like, I don't know.
Picture what that looks like at all.
No, I had to.
For some reason, all I can think of is a muscle shirt. And I know that's not right.
No, because it's buttoned down. So it's classy, but sleeveless. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't under, maybe he's still dressing like he's in the early 1900s. I don't know.
Maybe it's like an undershirt, a button up undershirt.
That'd just be uncomfortable.
It's a weird thing, but it totally pulled me out of the book because I had to picture it and then I had to Google it.
Yeah, there's so many times where it doesn't matter what book I'm reading. They'll talk about like shoes or an outfit, especially with cars. I'm just like, what does that look like? I'm just like, oh, no, I wouldn't wear that. No, because I'm just like, I don't understand how it gets put on. I don't understand where you wear this to.
Mm-hmm.
So many things.
My my editor would say that I would spend like, when you try to get characters from here to there, it's like, it's a lot more complicated than you realize. Like and you'll get comments sometimes in reviews around like, I don't understand how this happened and how she didn't go pee the entire day. And it's like, do you really want me to take some time to talk about the fact that when, and you do. So I do in the, she got up, she got up, she got dressed, brushed her teeth, took a shower, went pee. Like,
I think the first TV show I ever, I watched where someone actually, you saw someone in the bathroom going pee during it was HBO's The Girls. That was like the first time anyone had done that.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, I took you off topic.
Oh, no. Because I was going to say this about Breaking Dawn. I still don't understand how, even though Edward's dead and basically he has no bodily functions at all, he can still produce sperm. I don't understand how that works.
We can't think about the science too close.
No, it doesn't make sense.
It's, and those, if that website is still up, the Twilight Lexicon, I feel like there were questions specifically about those pieces
probably. And yeah, there's probably ones that are going to ask like very like specific like length and girth, most likely, because you know people's got you can imagine someone asking this.
Oh well, you know, you've heard that, have you heard that that saying where if it exists there's porn of it? So yeah. I'm sure there are those questions.
So with you writing a lot of I'm going to phrase this in a way where I don't sound like an idiot. with you writing romance books, if you could choose a harem of your own in this series, who would you choose?
I Jasper. Jasper's going to be there.
Crazy eyes?
I don't even care that he has no expression on his face. I think it's the like that he's barely in control of himself. I think that is what really appeals to me. So it would be Jasper. It would be Emmett because he just seems like a good time. Like he would be a lot of fun.
He'd be taken so many different ways.
Yeah, no, in all of those ways, he would be a good time. Like he would be up for shenanigans, mm-hmm. and he would be like
he'd
lighthearted.
And he'd be able to toss you around later.
Yeah. And totally like out of the Cullen clan. What's his name? He was one of the Volturi.
Marcus. Oh, Marcus.
Marcus, because he was the one that was like forever mourning his dead mate. So I like a guy that can commit and like really, really commit. So that would be my mixed up harem. And I don't think, I think the thing that I can't get over with it, the werewolves is they're really young. They're teenagers. They can't be in my harem.
Yeah, the only one in their 20s is Sam, and he's taken.
And he'll drop you if he meets another girl who happens to appeal to his wolf. So forget that.
And it's still bugging me. I can't think of what that word is.
Luckily, I have the book right here. I wonder if I can find it. What was it?
I can picture it.
And it wasn't. If only I brought Breaking Dawn, because I could have.
Because
I could have gone right there. I don't know. Maybe. Well, was Paul? Do you remember Paul? He was kind of the jerk werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he could be in there too, because I think he's 21. You gotta Google it.
I'm Googling it.
Good.
Imprint. You. Imprint.
Thank you. Oh, I can't believe I didn't get that.
I'm just like, it's something so simple.
No, I'm glad you looked it up, because it would bug me.
I know, because Google works for everything.
Thank God.
I know. Where would we be without Google back in the 80s? Wasn't alive.
Yeah, so... But yeah, no, I don't, maybe Paul. So I guess that's four. That seems like a good size.
Cause you can, if Paul gets on your nerves, you can just have Emmett beat him up. It's a win-win.
Right, or you could go somewhere.
And then Jasper, all he has to do is just like, look at someone and be just like, yep.
Well, if he's being annoying too, Jasper, remember, he can like chill everybody out, cause he controls everybody's moods. So.
But there's wonder if that could actually, I don't know if that could actually, well, yeah, I probably could work on the werewolves.
Oh, I don't know if they are not susceptible to mind control though. So that might not work.
Might be useless with that one.
What about you?
Oh, I would say, I know, I keep on forgetting I have new ink and that it hurts.
Oh no.
And my hand into it. I would pick. It'd be Emmett. Would have to go with Jacob, because if I ever needed my car fixed, he can do it.
Oh, I like how you think.
Yep. As much as I don't want to say Carlisle, I'm going to say Carlisle, because in case I ever injure myself, I don't have to go to the hospital. He's got
everything. No, I get it. I get it.
I think that would be it, because I'm just like, I have, Emmett can just keep, like, is the funny guy, and I think he knows music, and then all the others, they have functions that they can do where they can fix things and whatever else.
Yeah. Yep.
So if I know I asked you this the last time we had talked, but if you could be one character, who would it be
in Twilight?
Yes. In any of the characters, any of the books?
I want to say Leah, because I feel like I sympathize with her, but I don't want to be her because it's such a sad story.
Yeah.
I think Esme, because she's chill and she's not like, she's totally established with Carlisle, and she's the mom of the group, and I feel like I'm the mom of the group too. Like, who's hungry?
So the thing is, you'd have to throw yourself off a cliff, because that's where Carlisle finds you.
It would be quick. Like, I mean, it's not, I mean, I wouldn't want to be put away in a mental institution for years and years.
Yeah, but you don't remember any of it. That's the thing.
Oh, that's true.
That's all your human memories are just disappear or dissipate over time.
And then there's Jane.
I mean, if you had some enemies you had to take out, oh yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad thing to do. They don't see you coming either.
No, they don't. But the thing is,
but then you're a bad guy.
You have to ask yourself, would you rather be feared or loved, because that's she's got more fear than anything. The only person that loves her is her brother, he's probably very creepy way.
Yeah, that might get into Game of Thrones territory, so maybe not Game.
Yeah, no one needs another Cersei.
No, they don't. No, we don't need that. But yeah, what about you?
Oh, if I Benjamin from Breaking
Benjamin Dawn. Benjamin is so cool.
I know. I want to be able to throw rocks and move earth.
I guess if like the equivalent of Jane on the good side is one of the sisters. The one that do you remember the Alaskan, the Denali?
Oh yeah.
And one of them, like, you touched, she could like zap you if she touched you.
But the thing is, you have to be like right there. You can't exactly like look at them from like 3 feet away and zap.
Yeah. Where Benjamin can open a gap in the earth.
From I don't know how far away his abilities to work, but I mean, that would come in handy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the big things that happened in this book was the all-on vampire war that happened. Mm-hmm. Now, I on a scale from 1 to 10 with Victoria, I like her at a 0.
Okay.
I get it. She hates the Collins because they killed James, who was her mate. I understandable that she hates Collins, but to continuously coming after them through Bella and now changing all these teens and adults and possibly even children and then feed them lies the entire time. It's so diabolical. I don't think there's a word for it.
Yeah, it was she's an interesting character because I don't want to say she's like two-dimensional or one-dimensional even, but like, because I think what's interesting about her is the mind games that she played with Riley to get him on her side. Like she did whatever she had to get revenge. And that, you know, she didn't, I thought that was, that was different. And yeah, the vampire war and I don't know. There's so much like that I kind of like about characters, even the bad ones. Like I like the idea of loving somebody so much that you would like lay waste to the world to avenge them, but also like he was chasing after Bella and that's not cool. Like
and you know, if it was done in a way to where Victoria hadn't just like full out lied about it and just like this is what's happening, and then but to completely just like pull the wool over their eyes for the entire time.
Yeah.
And I think Bree was the only one who really ever saw it. And as much as I like that she got her own book, she shouldn't have had her own book.
It was so sad. And then there was that one guy who thought something fishy was going on and told her, and then they killed him. And then like the last scene is her, you know, getting unalived. It was a lot.
Yeah. And the Collins were just like, we'll take responsibility for her, but you know, the Volturi are just giant assholes, except for Marcus.
Well, even I mean he's not a good guy.
He goes along with, from what I've seen and understood from Marcus, he just kind of in the background, not caring what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not always doing anything about it, but it was just like, yeah, he's just waiting for death.
Yeah.
So I, with Marcus's backstory, even though this is, well, no, we met Marcus in New Moon. His backstory is so tragic and It sucks that it was Arrow that was one that killed his mate. And wasn't it his Arrow's sister?
Yeah.
And that's so fucked up.
Yeah. It is. I mean, Arrow is a real messed up character, but I mean, very, you know, puppet mastery.
And so. Then his ability outshines Edward's so vastly, because yeah, Arrow has to touch someone to read their mind, but he goes through their entire memory catalog though.
Puppy. he has a wife too. Like, remember they talked about the wives?
Yeah.
And they, so it, it's, I would like to, I mean, I know that's kind of dorky, but I don't care. And I like to know more about the secondary characters. Becca, who was on your, Rebecca Royce, who is on your podcast as well. She always gets frustrated with me because I get obsessed with secondary characters. She's like, they're not an important part of the book. I'm like, but I want to know more. Why don't, and when she writes, I'm always like, why don't you give this one their own story? And that's a little bit how I feel about the Twilight universe. I feel like you get a little bit of an insight into characters, but you do sort of, I mean, and I guess that speaks to Stephanie Meyer's world building, that she can add, just drop little nuggets of information and it's enough to hook people.
Yeah. With Stephanie Meyer, I have tried to read The Host. I got 3 pages in and I'm just like, I can't. It, like, I thought Twilight was such a good series. This is something I like, but I think it was the whole alien aspect of it that I just couldn't get past.
I read The Host. It took me a while to get into it, but
I like the movie.
Yeah. The guy, the main character looks a lot like Kevin Bacon to me. And so I was like, Kevin Bacon looks like, has a look that it looks like his skeleton is on the outside of his face. I don't know.
I've never heard someone be described like that before.
I don't know. It's like his nose, it looks like it's a nose, but it also looks like, you know, when I don't know.
Have you seen any of the Marvel movies, like Captain America? Okay,
Red Skull. Red Skull.
Yeah.
Have I seen the Marvel movies? What do you want to talk about?
Well, apparently there's I haven't seen the new Thor movie, but I don't think there's a full frontal, but you get to see his ass in the new one.
That's like the stuff they write about, the female gaze and the male gaze, or what men think is the female gaze. And they use Marvel as an example a lot of times as like what men think the female gaze is. And it's like Thor with his short shirt off, like, you know, washing down his pecs. No. And then they have like a scene of like a guy's like arm and like the muscle moving in his arm is like, that's the female gaze. Like, it's not this.
No, I remember when the first Captain America movie came out, I brought it over and I watched it with my mom, and her then boyfriend, he called her and she's just like, I'm watching a very hot man in very tight spandex, so I'm gonna have to call you back.
Patriotic, it's America's ass.
I know. So I saw I think it was like a new movie that Chris Evans was doing, and someone yelled from the balcony, that's America's ass. He just started laughing as he walked away.
That's awesome.
So back to people with weird facial structures. Jackson, we get to see his whole backstory as well. And his backstory is so sad.
Yeah. But also, there's so much problematic stuff in there that it's really hard to he was a Confederate. Let's just call it like it is. Like, that's not a good side to be on.
No.
And you know, like, obviously he had a change of heart, because not only did he, you know, stop killing people, but I think, yeah, he has a very sad backstory. And a very different one, like a very grim story.
Yeah, when reading, like going back and looking at it now, I didn't think of it so much then, but looking at it now, it makes me wonder if the vampires, even though they can live for millennia, if they have the mental capacity to have like mental illness, like Jasper, he would have PTSD. And it makes me wonder if even if they live these long lives, if they have the mental capacity for it, or if it's just something where memories are just constantly overlapped on it.
Right. Like if their brain changes so they can remember every aspect of their lives, or if it's like us and you know, when you're in it, you have it's you're present in it. And then, you know, I can't remember from eight to eight what I did minute by minute yesterday. So maybe, that's a good point though.
Well, cause it does make you wonder, because like he fought in a war, which was, I said the last time, and I was so wrong on this, that he fought in the Revolutionary War. I don't know why. I'm just like, that was not the right war. And I remember that in hell. And I was like, I was so fucking sure of it. And I'm just like, no, I am so wrong.
Well, I don't know if you read A Discovery of Witches, but there was a side character that fought in the Revolutionary War. You could get them confounded. So
I haven't read it yet. But I don't, I'm just like, no, he fought in the war. Those in like the 1700s. No, Kaylin, please stop.
No.
Yeah, apparently I'm really bad at history. I should have known that from high school.
It's okay. It's fiction.
Very true. Though I'm surprised no one has been just like, wrong year. I know that now. I figured that out 3 hours after I edited everything. I'm just like, oh, shit. It's too late to do anything.
That's when you do a voiceover. It was not the Revolutionary War. It was the... This is a civil war.
Yeah. I'm just like, no, I'm not gonna, fucking people know that I'm not the smartest. That's fine.
Stop it. You don't have to be a historian. And who, I mean, we're not gonna get into the historical accuracy of the Twilight series. I mean,
no, I think I had Hamilton on the brain, so I'll go with that.
Great. Yeah, that's fair enough. Huh?
I said great musical.
Yes, absolutely.
Shit, I feel like there's something else. I told myself I didn't do this last week, and I told myself I'm gonna write down notes. What did I do? Not write down notes again.
That's okay.
And I'm just like, okay, there's things I want to talk about. What are they? Nothing.
The thing I wanted to talk about was Leah, just because she's justice for Leah. I mean, like, she really does need her own book. I just can't stand her ending. Well, I mean, she did leave eventually, but then can we talk about how she had to hear all of their thoughts about her?
Oh God. Yeah.
Only it's like somebody reading your diary. Like, not only does the dude break up with her, but then he has to know how hung up on her that she is, or on him that she is.
And it does really suck, though. I think there's a little bit of comedic relief with both the Sam and Leah aspect, and that is Leah's brother Seth.
Mm-hmm.
By far my favorite character, because he's this like little pipsqueak of a kid who has no idea what's going on, but just goes around and just like follows everyone around like a little puppy, going like, I'll help, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm thinking of the wrong one. For some reason, I'm just like, I was thinking of the battle and I was thinking of the wrong bed. I was thinking about the one in New Moon where Seth was killed. Wrong one.
Oh, the fake battle?
Yeah, the fake battle, which you didn't know was fake for the longest time. I remember watching it in theaters, and I think I was with my sister, and I'm just like, Maddie, no.
That's not in the book.
I was like, I don't remember this at all.
I feel like I would have remembered Carlisle getting his head ripped off.
Oh, God. That whole scene was just like, it was traumatic on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. Then you're just like, people from the other side are dying, but so are people that we like.
I know, because doesn't Seth die too in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, don't like that. And then Jasper. So it's like Jasper dies, Carlisle, Seth, Sam.
Yeah, there's a good handful.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there are definitely bad guys that got that, but there were but you don't even know that in the book because she never gets into it. That's the only reason I even knew it existed was because of stuff that was online about it.
The one thing that really sucked at the end of there's two things that really sucked at the end of Eclipse. One was Jacob finding out that Bella's engaged, even though she does kiss him. And that's just wrong on so many.
Yes. Yes.
Don't let a guy think that they have a chance and then have the rug like pulled out from underneath of them. That's just shitty.
Well, have you read about or heard, like, I swear to God, I watch way too much. Well, I know I watch way too much TikTok, but when they talk about like how Jacob was like drawn to Bella because she has Renesmee eggs.
Yeah. just there's one egg that hasn't dropped yet that he's just like, I need it. And it's
and that's it
on so many levels. When like once you figure out the only reason that he was into Bella was because of the child that she was gonna raise, then you're just like, okay, this can go one of two ways. We're gonna really like Jacob, or we're gonna think Jacob is somewhat of a pedophile.
Well, she makes it like definitely like lays the groundwork for that not being creepy, but it cannot not be creepy.
Well, even in
because isn't this the book where there's the guy that had imprinted on the little girl?
Little girl's name was Claire, and it wasn't
Paul, it was the other friend.
Quinn?
That's it.
God.
Nicely done.
God, I pulled those out of my ass. yeah, but you get to see them, and he's like this uncle figure, and she's gonna grow up like they're gonna be best friends. How is he supposed to? And I get that he's not really gonna age, he's gonna kind of stay like the same age that he is, and then
but life experience wise, like
yeah, but and then when she gets to a certain age, then he's going to continue aging on to like do that. But I'm just like, how are you supposed to go from I am like your uncle / best friend to hey, we're gonna bone and have kids now? How do you do that?
No, that's not that's a genre, but it's not one that that draws me in.
No, and it's
I'm gonna take a pass on polite decline.
I don't get how that is going to transition. I think when in Breaking Dawn, I think it's a little different between Jacob and Renesmee, and that's because she grows up at a like here's the actual curve for children to grow up. There's her, like there's she
only physically,
like, mentally too.
But like life experience wise, she still only has like 6 years of life experience. Like, yeah, she can read and she can like, wasn't there a scene where Bella is like, oh, she loves it when I read her poetry or something like that.
And then at the end of like 6 months takes it and starts reading it back. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I don't even know how to pronounce half those words. How the hell can you do that?
Oh my God. That reminds me. When you read words in your head and then have you like when you're a kid and then you have to read it out loud to people and then you learn how you're supposed to pronounce it. I was reading a book out loud in fourth grade and it had the word oval office in it. And I think I said oval or something like that. And everybody in class pointed out how it was oval. But
what I did when I would read a word that I did not know how to fully pronounce, I would mumble it and then keep on going. No one stopped me, not even the teacher.
And no. I'm
like, shouldn't you have said that says organism? But I love to watch speeches of like I've seen so many different things of like people and just like I was teaching a biology class. I went to say organism and I accidentally said orgasm to a whole bunch of 15-year-olds.
That'll get you. They won't let that one pass.
Oh God, no. God, no. When I was in high school, I took anatomy my senior year. And my anatomy teacher, as we are learning about the male reproductive system, slams his hands down on the table and yells, "Tidy whities are not a form of contraception."
All right, fair enough, dude.
That we got that quote into the yearbook. We are very proud of that.
Nice. That one you're gonna forget.
No, God, no. No matter how many years later, like there's a couple of us that are still friends who were in that class together. So we're just like, do you remember when Mr. McFarland said this? Yep, good.
You're not going to forget it. And it's in the yearbook.
So I don't know if there's anything else for Eclipse. Anything that you can think of?
There's Bella desperately trying to get into Edward's pants. Like that's definitely a running theme of that is like the hormonal teenager and then getting shot down by the dude who thinks he's gonna, you know, kill her if he has sex with her. Yeah. So, I mean, but there's something about it that's like, I know that we're supposed to go with the idea of her, of him, like wanting to get married because he's old fashioned before they have sex, but it always rubbed me the wrong way. Like it just always bugged me that it felt like a trap for Bella.
And if she wanted to get dick down so badly, go behind Edward's back and just go to Jacob.
Well, that was, I mean, she was specific at least. She was loyal-ish until she kissed Jacob. But yeah, it was a little bit too much moralizing, I think, for me.
And I remember it was some sort of interview that Stephanie Meyer did. And I cannot remember what it was, but basically her editors basically demanded she put some sort of like, it didn't have to be a graphic one, but some sort of like sex scene in it because that's what everyone wanted. So that's why at the honeymoon, they had that scene because her editors wanted it, saying
the fade to black kind of feathered everywhere. Yeah.
But speaking of feathers, I'm sorry, but I after like 8 hours of sleeping afterwards, how are feathers still falling from the air?
Well, what if they have a ceiling fan?
I'm pretty sure a ceiling fan's not that powerful.
No. Well, and they're in the truck, like they're on an island. I'm sure the doors are open. Remember, they're the only ones on the island, and like the breeze is coming through. It's bullshit. No, I'm with you. But still. Yeah.
Just like, I no. I'm sorry. It's not like anyone came up and just like, yay. No.
And then she gets pregnant. So she only gets to do it like once or twice.
Yeah, that's it. No, the only time they do it a second time is because she's crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, if like that's all that we women have to do to have sex is cry. Man.
Well, see, this is where I would want Midnight Sun to like extend, because I feel like Edward should be so, like, that's part of like the tension between characters is that sexual tension. Mm-hmm. And I get it's YA, but
some YA you have a little bit of leeway of, you can go a little bit further into it, but
he just doesn't seem like he's into her, but there should be like that passion. There's not that passion there, like, that like, but maybe I'm misreading it.
But I've noticed this in the movies, that whenever Edward and Bella are kissing, Edward looks so pained to do it. Like, he's got like the worst facial expressions while doing this. Like, it's so weird. And it's just like, I get it. You think you're going to kill her, but it can't be that bad kissing her.
Well, he's I've watched a bunch of TikToks with him where he talks, where they've done interviews and he's talking about like how full of himself he was. I mean, it was like his first big role that he did. So he was taking himself really seriously. So he kind of knocks himself like down a couple pegs when he's reviewing it. But the other piece that he said was, they asked him about the character of Bella and he goes, oh, that's Stephenie Meyer. Like, that is, she wrote herself into that character.
Okay, now hearing that, that's a little weird. Now thinking about everything. Oh.
Well, it, even sort of physically, like they kind of match up and.
Yeah, it sort of makes you wonder if she wrote herself in as Bella, if there was actual like a love triangle before she got married. If there was a love triangle with that, because
I mean, she was really young, I think, when she got married.
I don't know.
Right out of college, because she went to Brigham Young?
I don't know. I didn't really follow her as an author all that much.
She went to Brigham Young.
Because yeah. Like, it wasn't like So I, as a kid, like, I absolutely hated reading, and it wasn't until I hit my teens and I actually started volunteering at my local library that I actually got into reading more. So back then I just cared about the content of the book and not really who the authors were.
Yeah.
Growing up, I've learned you got to care about both.
Well, I mean, I don't know that you do. But I feel like there are just some fandoms that lend themselves to that. And Twilight's one of them. I feel like Anne of Green Gables, people will travel to Prince Edward Island for Anne of Green Gables stuff. I mean, people are still going to Forks. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do that trip so badly as a teenager. As soon as I heard it was a real place, I'm just like, I need to go. No, never been. Now I'm just like, it might be a little bit too weird to go now, because back when it was like the Twilight mania, that would have been fine. But now that it's been 10 years after the last movie came out.
Has it really?
It was like, what was it, 2012, 13 that the last movie? Again, Google.
I'm trying to remember.
No, Breaking Dawn Part 2 came out in 2011, so it's been 11 years.
No, it was 2011?
Yeah.
But then again, 2011 feels like it should be 2 years ago.
I was... 2011, I just got out of my teens. So it feels like a lifetime ago for me.
Yeah. it feels like a really long time ago, but I feel like the last 3 years have made everything feel like a different lifetime ago.
Yeah. After the quarantine quarantine felt like 10 years long. It was like, oh God, son of a bitch. There's a war I had, and it was like, they call it like the 10 year war.
That war in Afghanistan?
No, I don't know.
Are we talking about recent history or?
I don't know. My mind's going to 1812, and I know that's not right.
The war of 1812?
That only lasted a year.
I don't know. I don't know much about, I mean.
I don't know. If I would have to, my brother's more of like the history person. I once asked him how much.
Are we talking like, I mean, there's the, I mean. European history is different, but for us, we've got Spanish American Civil War.
I don't know anymore.
Huh?
I don't know anymore.
King Philip's War.
Never heard of it. I slept through a lot of my history classes in high school because I didn't care. I didn't sleep through Gone with the Wind, though. I can't tell you what really happened, except for he said, "Frankly, darling, I don't give a damn," and threw her down the stairs.
He threw her down the stairs?
He was pregnant. He didn't want a baby. Threw her down the stairs.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That it for some reason they thought it was okay to show 13 and 14 year olds this.
There's a lot that's gone wrong with okay. What you know what though? If did you read the book too?
No.
Oh, they just showed you the movie?
Because I was in American history and they showed us that.
Where are you?
I'm in Ohio. But my high school is sort of surrounded by cornfields. So
yeah.
Education's fine.
We're all entitled to our free, appropriate public education, and it's free.
We've got one celebrated person that came out of my high school, and that is Tim Anderson. He played for Ohio State and then went into the NFL for like 5 years. That's it. So we've got an NFL player. That's all Clyde has.
You're not the Buckeyes, are you?
Yep.
Okay. All right, you and me. Hey.
I don't think Vermont has a football team unless you guys are the Patriots.
Yeah, they're the New England Patriots, so they count for us.
Oh, no, I'm
so we sorry. Don't have a, well, I'm not really into football. It's not my jam, but so I don't get upset about that. I'm not crazy about any sport except like, I like women's soccer.
So you I know that you have a new book out called Gods.
The New Gods, yeah.
New Gods, okay. It is in my TBR list.
Oh good.
Unfortunately, it is in the second notebook and I'm only halfway through the first, so it'll be a little bit before I get to it.
That's okay. It's gonna be a series, so
so maybe
you have a little time. Well, it's not going to be a whole bunch of books. I think it'll probably just be one or two more books, depending on. This one was really long, longer than I thought it would be. So I might be able to finish it up in a, you know, extra long second book, but I'm not sure yet. So
can you sort of give me the premise of it?
Sure. So it is a story about a girl who's just gotten her PhD and she's landed sort of her dream position at Oxford. She's a she's kind of a socially awkward, feels really alone, and she's kind of lucked out because she's found, through her research, she found this artifact that has sort of thrown everything that people know about history on its head. So it's too old for where it was found, and it's has things about the Trojan War on it, and it shouldn't, because the Trojan War is a myth. And so she is this like suddenly super popular person that everybody, all the universities want her to come and be part of their team. And she ends up at Oxford because that was always her dream. And the thing about this artifact is it's actually it's part of a seal that keeps the Greek gods trapped. And it's broken in all of these pieces, and she's found one piece of it, and it was supposed to remain hidden forever. And the heroes of the Trojan War, some like Achilles, and then some of the ones that people, Paris and Hector. So Prince, they're both of those are princes of Troy, and their brothers. And then Achilles was Greek and fought for the Greeks. So they fought against each other. Orestes, who's a, who was Greek as well. And his father was one of the generals in the Greek army. And then Pollux. So these five Trojan heroes, have immortality, and they've committed to like keeping the gods sealed because of the gods that, you know, they destroyed the world during the Trojan War and destroyed their lives. So when she finds this seal, they decide she's, you know, she's too lucky and she's too smart, and so she has to die. So it goes from there.
No, while you're talking about this, the one thing that always that came up in my mind, and it happens a lot with certain books, and especially with like Midnight Crown, how much research do you have to do before you start writing them?
Okay, I love research. It's my favorite part, one of my favorite parts of writing. So it's a lot of like research, but I also, I love mythology. So that's something that I've always read anyway. So that part wasn't so hard or anything like that. But the thing is with mythology, there's always like four different versions of a story. So you just kind of get to pick which one you like. But like I did a lot of research around England and like the university systems, and making sure that when I was referencing things in history that I wasn't just like pulling, you know, I was accurate in what I was talking about, and any references that I had, I double checked. So, but I love research. So that's what I like.
You now saying that you love research, do you kind of wish you almost went a different way with your day job, or not really?
No, well, it's just a different part of my brain, because I love, so like my day job is education related. I went to school to be a speech pathologist, so that was all sciencey stuff. So it's just a different, it's just something different, and I love both of them. I wish wish I had more time for writing, but I wouldn't not do what I do, because I really enjoy it. And I love my kids that I see, and the people I work with. Like writing can be really solitary, so it's nice to have people out and about.
Understandable.
Yeah.
I think that's everything, Ripley.
All right. Well, thanks for reaching out, thank you for coming on.
I know we'll have to, I told Rebecca this, but if I ever pick dear Jesus, I read too much, why can't I think of this name now,
the one we co-wrote together,
yeah, the Storm trilogy, like
Lightning Strikes, yeah.
We'll have to have both of you guys on at the same time, just like let's talk this out.
Yeah, that was I love that series. That was fun to write. So love to. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks, Callan.
I want to do another thank you to Ripley for coming on and talking about Eclipse and Twilight and anything else that we discuss. I want to say thank you again for that. As you guys know, you guys can follow me on social media at Instagram and Twitter at Not Your Normal Books Podcast. You can also email me at notyournormalbooks@gmail.com. Any book suggestions, thoughts, feelings, your take on any of the books that we've covered so far. And also, please, please, please rate, subscribe, and review. Every little bit helps put this podcast on the chart that allows other people to find and listen. All right. I will see you guys next week with the final book in the series, Breaking Dawn, with yet another new guest. Bye.